Welcome to the Makeshift Podcast, hosted by Chris Powell from Full Steam Designs and myself, Corey Stanley from Odyssey CNC. What do you got going on this week, Chris? We have no guest.
I know, this is weird.
It's weird.
Can't remember the last time we didn't have any guest at all. And I don't think anybody will be popping in secretly because we didn't give out any links.
Yeah. How am I going to fill a whole episode of just talking to you?
I don't know. We can probably just read the patrons now and...
Yeah, it's called a day.
Yeah, I mean, you've been working on gun parts. I've been working on the house. That's seriously what I've been doing, though.
Yeah,
I've been finally got the today. I got the insulation in. I got that wall reframed out like last week, and I went and got the cement board today and started getting that up. It's kind of a pain in the ass. It's just a pain to cut.
Yeah,
I know there's different ways you can cut it. I'm doing it with a jigsaw, which I don't know if that's how that compares to the other. I see some people have like a knife that they score it with, but it's like some really heavy duty thing that I don't have. I don't know if just a regular utility knife will cut it. I've never tried that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you could score and snap it, because I feel like that's what we did.
Mm. So this is like the Hardy backer, not the because I know there's the other kind, like that's
you could get a
fiber kind. This isn't that.
Let's say you get one of those like 5-tooth blades on a circular saw, just cut it.
Yeah I don't know, I mean, I don't have that much left to do, I guess, but you know, and it's cutting all right with the jigsaw. It's just a little slow going and it does kind of make a mess, but I think any like bladed type thing, cutting that is just going to make a mess. So
I'm sure really
much I can do about that. But yeah, I don't know. I got the roof guys coming Friday just to check out, figure out what's going on with the issues that I found, see what they end up doing about it. And, I don't know. I'm doing, the drywall too. I'm getting that Friday.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to pick that up and then start putting that in. That shouldn't be too bad. I'm getting 12-foot sections, which are a lot to handle, but, you know, it'll be...
Yeah, it's going
to
be a big piece for one person.
Yeah, it'll just be, you know, 4 panels on the one wall, 4, really mostly 2, and like 2 little sections on the other wall, and then the wall against my kitchen is just going to be 2 pieces. So that'll be nice. No, hardly any seams, really.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. That's the worst part about drywall. Fucking mud.
I hate that. There's nothing worse. Like, if I could find any reliable, you know, people or anybody that would like call you back, like I don't know what the deal is. Is everybody just too busy, or it's like I can't get anybody to do anything, and then. I don't know. I mean, like the guys I have gotten to do stuff, like roofers, have kind of not done a great job. And I mean, that was an expensive job. You know, it's not like I didn't pick like the cheapest guys to do it or anything. Actually, I think they were probably the most expensive.
No, really.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you got to pick somebody right in the middle. But like, yeah. I don't know if I talked about it on here. We had gone to like a fair. And they had somebody, you know, like booths and stuff set up, and somebody had like a construction company or whatever. And they were like, hey, fill this out and we'll call you if you have any jobs you need done. And I was like, oh, you guys do drywall? And they said, yeah. And I was like, well, I need a bathroom done. And I put my name and number and everything down and never got a call. And then like, how long has my bathroom been done? For like,
oh yeah, it's been a while.
Like a while. And I just got a call back from them the other day. Like, that job is done. I'm like, why would you wait this long? That was in October that I filled that thing out. Like, what do you think?
It's the cold part of the year now. You know, like, and they're like, well, we did all our outside jobs. what's some good inside jobs where we can stay warm for a bit?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't really seen, you know, like next door they've had people there for a while. Those guys were kind of, I don't know, they're not the guys that I would want doing anything on my house. They were kind of crackheads. So
Nice.
You know, I even went on like Angie's List and put a thing on there, and I found one guy, and you know who it was? It was the guy that did my bedroom that I ended up having to take him to court because he did such a shitty job.
That sucks.
So he must not, you know, he must not know who the potential customer is. So he put a thing in like, oh, I'll do it. And I was like, nope.
Yes, the thing that sucks about contractors is they get, you know, you can get the cheap guys. I guess that's how you know if they're good or not. Because if they're like, yeah, I'll be there soon or like in a week or two, then they're probably not very good. If they're booked out like 3 months, probably pretty good. But you also got to wait.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting windows replaced. And I just went through like Window World because, you know, I'm sure if I went through any small company, they probably either would have done a terrible job or just never showed up or, you know, whatever. Like, but it was 6 to 8 weeks out, which I guess isn't terrible. But,
yeah,
you know, if you want work done like now, it's not possible. Like, you can't decide one night that you want something done, I guess, and find somebody to do it. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if that's why there's so much more DIYers now, just the wait times on contractors or YouTube and the ability to look it up and do it.
Well, I mean, that's a big part of it for me. Like, you know, I had these roofers come and do all this work and then they, you know, messed some stuff up and didn't really do a great job or didn't really do it to the standard that we had talked about. And it's like, you know, these companies, they're just hiring like day laborers or whatever to do these jobs for them. So it's not like, you know, I guess you have somebody that can be held accountable, but they're not the guys that are working on the job and they're not there supervising these guys. They just say, hey, go put a roof on that house. And, you know, it's like anything past that, it's a real nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's fun.
No, yeah.
Do you any good videos or good troll content this week?
I've kind of been
too much your stuff this week.
Yeah, I guess I kind of been laying low and just I've been kind of busy with school and busy with working on like house stuff, and it just kind of was getting repetitive. Like there wasn't really a lot of good stuff that I had been doing, you know. And
yeah,
I'm kind of just trying to find about knock stuff out.
Yeah. That's what I find about for me posting stuff is like it seems like the same content. Yeah. Or like content I don't think people want to see. Like I don't think most people really, I mean some people are into gun stuff, but I think a majority of people, I don't know which way the majority is for that, but yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't like to see it. Or
I mean, it's not so much that I worry about like what people want to see, because I figure I'm always putting my stuff in front of a different audience, you know, even with as many followers as I have, it's like, I feel like probably 90% of them don't see my shit sometimes, you know? So I don't worry about that. It's just, I get bored with it, you know? So I need to entertain myself basically. And I don't know, always just putting up the low hanging fruit that I know is gonna set people off or whatever. Like I get tired of that. So
yeah,
I get tired of the same comments over and over again, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're driving me nuts.
Yeah. And, been dropping the ban hammer on people lately.
Just, have you?
Yeah. People that just say dumb shit and just want to cause problems and whatever. Like, you know, if you have a question about what I'm doing or you don't agree with it and you like, will at least put a little effort into an argument. Okay. But like the people who just say dumb stuff to say dumb stuff, like I'm kind of over it for now.
So yeah.
Been just blocking them and it's been nice, a little more peaceful.
Yeah. Damn, I can hear somebody right now on the house that's in my like backyard doing I think they do the finishing shit at night. I don't know, this whole neighborhood is like popped up so quick that they're constantly like framing, and then they got the finishing crews coming in, but they like work all night.
Oh, they're actually working on the houses, no shit.
Yeah, they're working right now. I can hear them hammering.
Damn. I just
must have like a not, day and night crew.
Yeah, and it wasn't, but a couple hours ago, I heard somebody up on a roof. Like, I assume that's what they were doing because, you know, you always get the do-do-do-do-do, that same repetition as they're throwing up shingles. And And I was like, damn, like it was just getting dark. And that was when I just heard them start. I don't know. I don't know if they got lights out there or what. But
I can't imagine that'd be a very good job for night crew.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that'll look great.
We're the night crew roofers.
Yeah. We have unless they had like big, spotlights and, something like a highway crew would have or whatever. I don't want them up there doing my roof at night.
Yeah.
I was outside cutting that board and I heard somebody, I was like, man, I'm kind of making a lot of noise. And then I started hearing that. I was like, oh, well, good. Screw it. I guess I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Not that it was late. It's just, I don't know. It feels like once it gets dark, I feel like I need to keep it down or something, even though, it could be 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
What have you been working on?
Oh, gun stuff. So right this right, week, I've been doing
next week.
I've been doing 80% lowers for ARs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I got that fixture from Doug, 2A part picker that we had just had on a couple weeks ago. And it works pretty good. I think I might at some point make me some just like soft jaws for the vise, like a Kurt vise.
Oh yeah.
That I can just clamp it in. Because this fixture, I thought I could like kind of rotate it to all the sides if I wanted to, but I'd have to kind of modify it. Like I think he made it just for the machine they use, the GG3. And then I was like, oh, we could probably use that. And it doesn't rotate up. You have to like drop it down in there. And then for the MR1 to like really reach down, it's kind of like between these two, like, what do you call them? Uprights that you don't have a whole lot of clearance there. So, I'll probably just, I think if I put it in a vise with some soft jaws, it'll have way less, like chatter, because it cut fine and it looked fine. Like the finish was great on it, but I just felt like it was chattering quite a bit for what it was. But, so yeah, started doing those. I got a newer version of the buttstock fixture than the one that even you printed for me, which it's just that one part that goes in the chuck that I just basically removed the chuck and had it be this bigger block of plastic that goes all the way and mounts to the faceplate. And that's awesome. Like I had a little bit of chatter in the wood before that you could see, and now it's completely gone. Just from like, I guess, because it was like a 1-inch shaft that was like kind of grabbing on in the chuck. And so now that it's like mounted to the faceplate and it has more like mass to it, it cuts a lot better. But the tailstock decided to, I guess, just seize up on me mid cut and it just plowed right through the middle of the fixture. Like one of the parts just got scrapped. The bit just ran right through. Cause if the timing is off, that thing's like eccentric. So it's like off center. So if the timing of the axis gets off from where it thinks it's milling, it plows right through the fucking fixture. So it did that into that piece of all thread that I just made for it.
Okay.
So I got to put a new bit in there, and luckily I have extra of those tubes because you printed a couple and I had a couple of those that were left from before. So got to fix that, get that going again. And then so I had more issues with the bamboo this week and I think I figured it out. I told you there was like a loose wire at one point. Well, I thought I'd fixed the wire and got it all like plugged back into that wiring harness. But I had a print going the other day cause it had been running fine for like a week. And I had a print going the other day and it was like 19 hours into the print and it went back to the same problem of like just being like a clogged hot end. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I cleaned out the hot end, and then after that, it wouldn't print again. And then as I was cleaning out the hot end, I found that one fucking wire was loose again. So I was like, okay, I got to figure out how to either like buy a new fucking plug for this thing and rewire it or just try to fix it. And it has like one little prong that wasn't like going into the plastic part the way it was supposed to. It's like a little bent thing that gets like stuck in there. So I was able to get that back in, and I think I'm good now. So I got a print going. It's been going all day. So if that comes out right, then I think I'm good to go. But on the positive side, Steven, Sigwo owner, bought his own X1 this week, and it's supposed to be here Monday.
Nice.
So at least I'll have another one to fight with. another one to reference for everything.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you know, you had me print those parts for you. And ever since then, and I did them in carbon, the PETG carbon. And yeah, ever since then, it's kind of been a little off. Like, I was printing, even when I was printing that, it started getting some weird, like, I don't know, just like areas were missing on the outside of that one tube shaped piece. And I looked in there and it had like a bunch of shit kind of stuck on the side of the nozzles. So I paused it and, you know, it lifts up and I was able to get that off, started it up and, you know, picked right back up fine. And then never had another issue on any layer after that. I was like, all right, cool. It just, you know, got some crap on it and whatever. Now it's good. And then I was printing some stuff in, you know, just regular PLA or whatever it is that I have. And it keeps like sticking to the side of the nozzle, like clogging up on the outside of the nozzle. And I don't know what causes that. Like, it's got that little silicone cover.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first got it, it was doing something weird with that where I actually was removing that and getting better prints. But then one day I put it back on and I never had an issue. So I don't know if it could be something related to that, like if that's maybe hitting something or what. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't really looked at it enough to pay attention to figure out what's going on. But, you know, like I don't want to have to troubleshoot this thing.
Oh, I know. So yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, I guess the last month or two, I feel like every machine we've had has just been giving me fucking problems, like back and forth. And now we keep getting more machines. I'm like, God damn it. Like, it's good on one hand that there's more machines to get more work done. And then I'm like, fuck, another machine that is probably going to give me fucking problems.
Yeah.
So like we got that Elite set up, but I.
Oh, you got that.
Yeah. We got that in. I got that built. I think I had that built last week. Nice. And then I was still trying to figure out how I wanted to do the fixture table on it. Because like the Phantom, we had that like cut out to where the parts kind of fit into, you know, their shaped like cutouts, and then had like gasketing in there and a vacuum table. And we talked about doing a vacuum table on the Onefinity, but then we've been fighting the fucking vacuum table so much lately where it keeps getting clogs and then the suction is just shit. So we're like, maybe we'll just do, you know, some way to bolt shit down. So that's kind of what we were talking about today. I think I'm going to end up doing like an aluminum fixture plate on it that I can like drill and tap some shit where I want it and like cut some dowel holes and then make it like a modular system where I can have like it's a 4x4. So I could have like 2x2, like 4 2x2 fixtures that can like just be a different thing that locks in on like a dowel pin. So if we switch up what program we're doing, we can just swap the fixtures out.
Nice.
So,
yeah, you know, your average person really doesn't get it, like what production puts these things through. Cause I mean,
yeah,
I like, you're literally running them overnight sometimes, you know, like I gotta imagine you're gone for over 24 hours at a time sometimes. And I mean, like that's how it was at Bosch, you know, those machines didn't stop. Like if they stopped, it was a major problem. So that's all you do is just machine maintenance at that point. And they do require a lot, you know, not that these machines aren't designed to take it, but there's just stuff that wears out, you know,
right? Exactly.
Inevitable problems that you're going to have when you're running something that much.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause like in the Navy we had, what was it? 3M. What's the fucking 3M is the maintenance, right?
Yeah.
So we had a maintenance program and it was like every, you know, 6 weeks or, you know, every week, like you had a different check and like, it was so annoying. I'm like, there's no way we need this much fucking maintenance on shit all the time. Like, this is stupid. Because most of the equipment that we did maintenance on didn't fucking move. Like,
you would grease something and you'd go in and it would be brand new grease from the last time you did it. Cause it didn't move.
And some of the times those machines don't even fucking move. you know, because maybe like in our machine shop, we had like, I don't know, five MRs, and that was even like a high number of MRs. And out of the five of us, there was like two of us that did work. And most of that was on one lathe and one mill, not like the massive fucking like 24 inch chuck lathe that they have just for fucking refinishing massive fucking valves or, you know, so like that equipment got the same maintenance constantly and it never fucking moved. I was like, this is stupid. But now that I'm like constantly fighting the same issues with like a fucking bearing seizing up or shit like that, I'm like, you know what would be kind of nice? Like if there was a, if I cycle through these machines and each week on like a Friday, one machine gets stripped down, fucking oiled, you know, blown out, all the dust blown out from everything, and like just alternate which week gets that done. And I'm like, oh yeah, maintenance is kind of important.
Even at school, like, you know, we're running those power hammers there. We got a few Anyang power hammers. They run all the time. You know, I mean, even if you're not, if people aren't using them, they're letting them sit there and they're idling, you know? And there was one that they ran without oil over like a Christmas break or something. And, you know, now that thing just, it's just sits there clunking away, and they still run it all day. And it's just like, clunk, 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 clunk. One day it'll, you know, whatever bearings or whatever are in there will seize up, and that thing's just never going to work again. So,
yeah,
I don't know, but
yeah, it's wild. I bet those things take a fucking beating.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's insane.
But you know, again, that does kind of, it says something about them, you know. I mean, I guess they're built well enough to be able to take that, you know, if it can withstand the abuse and negligence of, you know, a bunch of college kids, like I'm sure they're good for production use anywhere, you know.
Yeah,
because I mean the shop runs all the time, you know, even when there's not a class going on, there'll be somebody in there working, you know, and they'll be running the power hammers and whatnot. So
yeah, it's wild. Those things probably run all the time.
Yeah, the one they have like a opening on the side where it'll bleed off the air from the cylinder, and you know, every stroke it's bleeding off the air if you're not using it, and it just sits there just blowing out smoke because it's you know, whatever is burnt up, you know, whatever seals or bearings or whatever inside are smoked. So I don't know, still runs for now.
I had the bearing go out on the Phantom again, and I think it's the same fucking bearing that I just replaced like probably 2 months ago.
What was that
one? And I mean,
spindle?
No, it's no, that was the Langmeier that the spindle bearing went out. This is the one of the Y bearings on the gantry. And so there's two bearings on that, on each side of the gantry that are hold it on. But you know, the first one seized up, and I've had the Phantom for like 2 years now. And so, and I've ran it, you know, quite a bit, but you know, this last year, way more than ever because it's become a production machine. But it's supposed to be like that. These machines are supposed to keep running, and they have like an oiling system for it that's supposed to lubricate all the bearings. And I don't run it as often as I should, because, and it could just be something on my machine that needs to like adjusted, but it'll leak out around the Z column and then drip fucking oil all over my parts. And so I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want to run it very often because then it ruins the fucking batch of parts that I'm doing if it leaks all over them. So, but you know, I replaced that one bearing and I'm like, okay, I'll run the oil system like once a week or something and just kind of move it around and make sure it's all good to go. And, but it's been like 2 months in the same bearing. Like it just sounded like shit one day. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And like the ball bearings are missing from it and stuff. And I'm like, well, damn. So I had them ship another set for me. And, so the box shows up the other day. I think it showed up last Friday. Box shows up and it's just an empty fucking box. And it says on there written in Sharpie from like, USPS, box damage, no contents. And I'm like, well, thanks for fucking bringing the empty box. Like, at least still, you still delivered it. That's good for you. You did your job. But so I messaged Phantom and I'm like, yeah, well, this is what I got. They damaged the box somewhere and then just brought me the box anyway to tell me that they didn't have my shit. I was like, I don't know if you claim that or if I claim that or how long that process takes. And they're like, we'll deal with it. And we'll get you some more bearings sent out because the process takes a while. I'm like, okay, cool. So they at least covered that and were like, fuck it, we'll figure it out. And shipped them the same day. But it's just all my robots fucking hate me. I must be a bad robot dad because they just give me a hard time. I need a funny shirt.
At least you're not a... Yeah, that'd be a good one. Bad robot dad. I like that. At least you're not crashing them, right?
Yeah. I guess technically I did crash the buttstock machine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But that one's not my fault. That was the fucking tailstock.
Yeah.
The funny thing was about that is I've been worried about that happening for the longest time when we were using that aluminum fixture. Because I was like, man, if the fucking aluminum fixture... it gets off somehow in the A and the bit just crashes into that. Like, it's going to be fucking violent.
Yeah.
And so now with the plastic parts, it's not as bad, but then there's that piece of all thread going through it also. And so I'm like, well, that's going to suck when it happens. And the most annoying part was like, I fought the printer on getting the fucking part made right for a long time. And then I had to modify a part. I don't remember. I don't know. It was a fucking pain in the ass to get this fixture going again. And then it ran like two parts. And I was like, finally, it's going good. This thing's great. And then Eric, the guy who's over there running the machines, is like, well, you're not going to like me. And I'm like, is the fixture fucked up? And he's like, yeah, it ran right through it. And I'm like, God damn it. You're fucking kidding me. Can't fucking win with these damn machines.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick to manual stuff.
For real. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. Because I like what I do, but it is fucking annoying when it's like all these problems keep happening, and then it's always, like, it's my responsibility. Like, I'm the only one who can fix the shit, and I'm the only one who, like, programs everything and, you know, designs the shit on how we're going to fixture it and all that. So I can't like get mad at anybody else and be like, fucking figure it out or, you know, do this.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, fuck, I just have to fucking do this. I feel like I was going somewhere with that and lost it. That's where my brain's at.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's why I was saying that on some days I'm like, man, I don't like people, but my robots fucking hate me also. So maybe I should get a job that's like a people job where I just go talk to people every day instead of these fucking machines that hate me. Yeah.
Be like
a people person, damn it.
You'll go to put the thing in the tube to send it back to somebody's car and it'll like shoot out like a rocket or something.
Yeah, for real. That's the shirt I need, though, is the dude from Office Space where he's like, I'm a people person, damn it. I talk to the people. And it's like, I'm a robot person, damn it. I talk to the robots.
Yeah. All right. If anybody can make shirts, get working on that.
Yeah, I'll take a few.
Can draw. You know what? We don't need anybody. We'll just have AI do it. We just got to come up with the right prompt.
Good thinking.
Did I show you the one AI thing that I found where it can take a an image that it'll generate? Or really, I guess you could take any image. It wouldn't necessarily need to be one that AI generated, but it'll turn it into a 3D model.
I think you were talking to me about this, and this is something that I've been super interested in.
So it's not the one I've been messing with is not great, but it would probably be better for like video games because it has some texture, but it's more that it will like whatever it's called, where they like map that image onto the texture, you know? But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
You know, just like with anything. I mean, it's all getting better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What do they call those? I think you're right about it being like mapping, but it's like a,
yeah,
like a wrap or something.
It's like a point map or something like that. I don't know.
Might be right. Yeah. I don't know. It annoys the shit out of me though when I see this like awesome 3D model and I'm like, oh fuck yeah, like that's exactly what I want. And then I like download it and the model is like perfectly smooth, but then it has like this the map over it that is
right,
like a texture file that you can't really use like to carve it that way. I'm like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah, it'd be great for a video game, but it does nothing for what we want to do. Like I had like had it design some mask and then I put that into like the 3D program and, you know, like I said, it kind of looked okay. You could probably carve it. And then if you painted it, you could make it look a little better, I guess, but just carving it on its own, it's not there yet. I don't think not for the free software anyways. I don't know. Maybe there's some really good paid software. I don't remember what this stuff was called or what this program was called, but,
I need to do that for, cause that Fusion has like the generative design. That's like AI that like, So if you had like, let's say you needed like a adapter plate or something. So you have like the one flange that you are, you know, making, you need to make this part fit here to like where it's going to get bolted on, like over here. And it could be like at two different angles, two different planes. And you can just kind of select what's important to you, like what you need for the mounting faces, and then be like generate, and it'll make like it's supposed to be like a structural, like it'll make like a web of like this crazy fucking thing. But that would be interesting to do now that I have the bamboo, because I could make like, I'm making those fixtures for the rotary, but I could like, I wouldn't have to design that. I could just have the fucking Fusion do it and see what it comes up with, and then mill that and see how that cuts. Like if Fusion thinks that's strong enough, then I might be like, I don't know. And then run it and be like, oh wow, it actually does work.
Yeah. Maybe they'd print faster at least. So when you
run a
bit through it, you know, you can just make another one real quick.
Yeah.
Those models you made were kind of a pain in the ass to print. They weren't really like optimized for printing, you know? And I mean, I do the same thing where it's like, something I want and it's like, well, just make this, but then, you know, you really need to kind of design stuff to be 3D printed. It's not
The weird thing about that is like, because obviously it's already like if you're machining something, you have to make like a part really fucking basic, basically, just so that it's easy for you to make it, you know, or has the least amount of ops, so it's not like super complicated or like, you know, it's not really like 3D or like sleek looking, because you're just like, I need to do this and that, and this makes it easy to make. And then with the 3D printer, you're not really, you don't have to do that except for the way it's going to print. Like you have to put on tree supports and shit like that and worry about like the orientation of it and how long it's going to take to print, or, you know, I guess which parts are going to be like the stronger looking one. Because if you have supports on it, sometimes those parts that get supported are kind of like weak.
I hate using supports. I feel like anytime I put supports on something, it just isn't going to come out great. You know, it'll be good enough sometimes, but I just never seem to get a good like bottom finish on any of those supported layers, you know?
Yeah.
And like the tree supports, I never get.
I do like the trees. I like how easy
on, they, like, on technical off. Parts. Yeah, on technical parts anyways. I'm like, you know, like that stupid thing I printed the other day, the middle finger with legs, like I used trees on that and it was fine. You know what I mean? If you look at like where it needed the supports, it's not a great finish, but it's good enough for, you know, a little toy.
Yeah. But I guess that technically would be like AI generative design too, though, of like how it comes up with the tree support and how it's going to like get to where it needs to go. It always looks so cool though. Like when you do the tree support, cause it looks like these fucking vines are just coming up around the part. Like I saw somebody post on the, I think they posted like the bamboo, one of the groups on Facebook or something. And they did like the guy from Up, the old man. And so they did all the different colors, but all the tree supports were different colors too. And it looked so fucking funny. I gotta find it.
Man, that's a real nightmare there. Printing in color. Like different colors, you're you might as well just buy another printer at that point, because the one you're printing on is not going to be usable for a few days.
Yeah, I saw
a video. Wastes so much filament.
I think it was Caleb Kraft. He has I'll have to look it up what brand of printer he has, but he was showing how fast the filament changes on that, and it's like it's fucking instant, like it's like seconds, and the bamboo is like, I gotta look to see what that was, because he was talking about the differences between them. Like, I don't think it prints as fast, but it does the color change so fast that it's like the same print time almost, or faster. But yeah, I was having issues with the fucking AMS on the bamboo today, and I'm like, why the fuck am I? Like, I started a long print, and then I was about to go home for the day, and I was like, oh shit, this is going to stop in like a couple hours, and I don't want to come back to put another roll on this thing, and I don't want to wait till tomorrow to finish it. So I was like, well, I'll just put it in the same color in the next AMS slot. And then it wouldn't let me like load the filament because it was in the middle of the program. I think I tried pausing it and then switching the filament, but it wouldn't let me do it. And I ended up just like pulling the one out and then putting the other one in, and it pulled it in, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then after that, it was like, no, fuck you. And like, it just wouldn't, it kept like trying to unwind that filament roll. Like it had something stuck in it. So I was fighting that today for a bit, and I finally just took the fucking AMS off of it. I was like, I print one fucking color anyway at a time, so I'm just gonna put it on the fucking spool holder in the back. Fun times.
Yeah.
Have you tried doing that? Like getting a second roll ready and loading it while it's printing?
No.
Hmm.
I guess, I think I did have one run out, and like overnight, and then the next day I came back and put a new roll in, and amazingly enough, it's picked it right back up. And
oh yeah. Yeah. That's handy.
I was
about
surprised.
It. Yeah.
But I figured sitting for that long, you know, it would cool down and all that stuff, and it didn't seem to be a problem.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with that, 'cause I've tried that on other printers, like the longers and stuff that I have. And I mean, they're fine for what they are, but like every time I would do that, I'd be like, oh, it's going to work. And it would come up to the right level, and it would come over, and it would just knock the model right off the build plate. I'm like, all right, I guess we'll just start this over then.
Yeah. That's one thing I wish there was, is a way to like save your print when it had like a fault, like kind of like clear off that level that got messed up. And then like, if the tool could come back down almost like a probe and know what layer height it was at, and then be like, oh, I'm at layer 35,000. I'm just going to start from here and finish the print. Like, it'd be like, fuck yeah. Like, I have so much waste now in this fucking bucket that I have just from all these prints that have been fucked up. And I'm like, man, if I just knew how to start the print at the right level, I could fix these, but nope. Maybe in the future, maybe it'll be able to scan it and know that shit. That'd be kind of cool if it could fix itself. Like, it had like a little, like almost like a little flywheel cutter that was in there, that it could shave it back down to a certain layer and then fucking start from that layer, because it would know what height it's at. Just fucking print. I guess that's what I got to do. Just make a milling fucking 3D printer. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me pull up our patrons here. Before I start reading them out, if you'd like to help support us, you can do so by going over to patreon.com/makeshiftpodcast. We got a couple different levels you can support us at over there. The top one will get you into an Instagram group chat with us and a bunch of other people in there. Also, you will get a free entry into Ryan of Gnome Hammer Forge's hammer giveaway that he does every month. Mm-hmm. I forget, what did he give away last month? Was it one of the dog head ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you buy one?
Yeah, I did.
Of the dog heads? Yeah, me too. I'm not sure if I really, I don't know. I've never used one, so I'm not sure what to think about it. You know, like a dog head style hammer, but I figure for $100, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I like hammers, so you probably don't need to, you know,
dangle, well, I was thinking about
anything flashy in front of me.
Right. Like I'm not going to do that much blacksmithing, so I don't need a ton of, you know, heavier hammers, and I already have a few anyway, but I did want to get the first one, and I was like, ah, I could take that to Maker Camp and mess around with it. It's like, but then I saw this one and I was like, ah, I probably don't need that. But then I was thinking about the first one.
I mean, you might as well have the second one.
Yeah. 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 So now I have to collect them all. No, but I was thinking about like most of the shit I'm hammering on in the shop is lighter work. Like it doesn't need a sledgehammer. And I'm like, that one would actually be more practical for around the shop. Cause if I'm just fucking tapping on something or I got to punch something, like it's lighter and it's going to do the job. It's like, I'll probably use that quite a bit.
Yeah, sure.
I still want to make my own handles for them at some point.
Yeah.
But I'll probably wait until I wear those ones down.
All right. Well, everybody also gets their name read out. So we've got Keith Drennan of Blackthorn Concepts, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Junkyard Jewel, Green Street Joinery, Makeshift, number one, Fire and Steel, number two, One Piss, Other Shit. I don't know what this means. But, and I don't know who that is.
Is that Michael Nye? I feel like we haven't said his name in a long time.
That's Michael Nye. Now, remember, he had the whip it. Thank you, Michael. Brenda, Chad's Custom Creations, Mike from Pixels to Prototype, Toby Merle of UK Knife Maker Supply, Henry Davis of HG1 Metalworks, Woodland Iron, David Beckwith, Jake Largan of Metal Chef's Customs, MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, Adam Coonrat, David Wood, The Grant Alexander, High Caliber Craftsman Builds, Jess Brad at Brad's Customs, Jeff Stein, a weird guy, Ryan of Gnome Hammer Forge, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, BexArmory.com, Waffle Beaver, Rob DeMarco, Christy Steinman, CPA, David and Joanna at Widerworks, Miguel, Overall Maker Works, Chris from Green Money Fab, Joey Adelano, Dave Pratt, Riley White at WhiteFlame.forge. Did you see the video I posted of him the other day where he was welding?
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. I was like, I got a video from you. He's like, he's like, what was I doing? I was like, you're welding. He's like, God damn it. I just did it for 2 seconds. I was like, I know. And I just happened to look over and there you were welding without a hood on.
It'd be pretty. I love how you like, because when he looks away, obviously he's looking away. So he's not looking at the fucking weld, but it would be funny to say something like a welder with ADHD or something like that. And then be like, I really need to do this weld, squirrel. And then like every time he looks away,
Gary LaGuardia, he had a pretty funny one. He was like, he like just said it. He was like, when you have to keep looking at the tutorial for what you're doing or something.
That's pretty funny.
And it was pretty good. All right. We got, Earl the Third, Broken Tooth Forge, and Dean DePlanis. And we also got to thank our show sponsor, Pwn CNC. You can find them at pwncnc.com. They've got all sorts of stuff for CNC routers, dust boots, clamps, all sorts of work holding accessories. And they've got the speed setter. They've also got spindle kits. Man, they got a lot of stuff that are all pre-wired for, you know, your different CNCs. And now they have the ATC, the automatic tool changer. So that's pretty big deal. Pretty cool to see somebody making those for, you know, hobby and, commercial use CNCs now.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can find them at,
you know, don't just own your CNC, dominate it.
That's right. That's what they say. Yeah. You can find them at, pwncnc.com or pwncnc on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all those places. Oh boy. I'm trying to find out. I got too many windows open here. I couldn't get back to the screen. I don't know. What do you think? We got anything else? Now we're cutting it a little short. I'm absolutely exhausted. I'm going to try to get up early tomorrow. I got my blacksmithing class and it sucks. Like, I'm done with the projects that, like, the graded project for this, this few weeks. Like, it's like they're giving us way too much time to work on these projects, it feels like. Mm. And, like, yeah, we can work on other stuff if we want, but I have so much stuff at home that I need to work on. So, like right now I don't have the processing power to just come up with something else random that I want to make that I don't really need. Like I have too many things that I actually need to be working on. So yeah. I'm kind of getting frustrated with that.
Can you leave whenever you want or are they?
No, I mean, not really. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, they would mark you absent and you know, you can only have so many absences.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, if I could just finish my project and be done, you know, until the next project is due or whatever, that would be one, that would be great.
But, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the deal I had worked out with my instructor. Cause he knew me before I was even in the class. Like I had known him from just being in machine shops with him. And but I was doing that for the GI Bill and, you know, to get some other stuff that I didn't know. But like basically when there's something I already knew or didn't need to be at the class, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to be there for that. He's like, nah, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it. I'm like, cool.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm almost done. I guess May I'll be finishing up. So then I won't have to worry about it after that.
For the year? Or you're going to be done?
I'm done. I'm not going back next year. So.
Gotcha. I knew because we talked about it before and you were talking about, because you can do 4 years there, right? Is that what it is?
Well, that's what it is. It's normally 4 years, but they also offer an associate's if you want to leave it too. And to be honest with you, I really don't care about that. Like,
right.
It's not going to do anything for me. Even, you know, anything. It's like, I don't think people in trades like this care that you have, you know, a degree. They want to see what you can do.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm like one civics exam away from my associates. And I'm pretty sure I could just take it anytime. Like I could even now, I can still log in. So I can probably just be like I don't think I have to enroll for the next semester just to finish it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what's it going to do for me? Because I'm not working at a typical job or somewhere where I need to apply and be like, yeah, I have an associates also.
Yeah.
And like you said, if I went to another machine shop and was like, I think I want to be just a CNC programmer, because it pays good here, they probably wouldn't give two shits about the associates. They'd just be like, well, what experience, like what program do you use? And I could just show them shit that I've made and they'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So. Even like Bosch where I worked, like, I guess maybe it helped me get the job possibly, but I guess I hadn't even finished my machining one at the time. So my associate's degree that I went in there with was for auto repair, you know? So I don't know if that really meant anything, but everybody got paid the same.
Oh yeah.
Like you were, you know, everybody coming in got paid the same. You didn't negotiate a rate. Like that wasn't an option. That wasn't a thing there. So
yeah,
it didn't really do anything for me. You know, I guess in the military, it got me advanced to E3 or whatever. So that was good, but
yeah,
you know, I don't know how handy that's been ever really as far as making me more money.
Right.
If like somebody came to you, you know, and was trying to get a job with you, like, would you care that they had a degree?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, on one hand, I'd be like, oh, they put in the work and they probably also have student debts they have to pay. So maybe they'll stay here. To pay their shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if you look at it that way, but that's not actually the degree. It's not like you're qualifying that person because they have the degree in whatever. You're just thinking like, oh, this person's probably got a shitload of debt.
Yeah. That's probably why those bigger jobs do it too. Like, how much debt do you have?
Yeah.
Because we want to know how serious you are about getting this paycheck, because we're gonna give you some shitty stuff to do.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got a master's your perfect. Life. Oh yeah.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. When do you expect to have that paid off? Oh, 10 years from now? Great.
Perfect.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh man. But yeah, I'm going to try to get up early tomorrow, finish putting up that cement board on the wall and then I got to go to class at
1:30. Did you, have you figured out what you're doing or if you're doing Make What You Fear this year?
I want to. I haven't even put any thought into it.
Right. That's
what I mean. I did kind of put some thought into it, but actually executing any of that, I guess that's what I could be working on if I wanted to forge something. You know, I kind of had thought about doing like a knife or something because I've never done one of those before. Like, it's kind of hard to pick like a material or something that I've never used. So I guess it would just have to be some specific thing that I've never done, you know?
Yeah. Do like some dry pour scales for it.
No.
Yeah. I haven't figured out. I don't like the same thing. Like, I don't know what the fuck I would do it on. Cause I would want it to be something related to kind of like what I already do, but also it has to be, you know, different. Or I guess I could just go with a different material and try doing something, but I don't even know what the fuck I'd do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It is supposed to challenge you, so I would actually like to challenge myself, you know? I don't want to, you know, just pick the low-hanging fruit just to do something. Like, I want it to be, you know, something well thought out. I don't know. We still got a little bit of time. I know there's not much, but, you know.
Yeah, how much longer is there? Is there like a...
I don't know. I shouldn't have said that because I didn't want you to ask me how long it was because I honestly have no idea.
I'm gonna.
I completely was bullshitting all that.
And I'm gonna say there's 8 weeks left.
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
No,
take another guess.
I don't think they did.
Five.
I think they only did 2 months. Maybe there's a month left.
Yeah.
If you want to know how long there is, don't take our word for it.
Yeah, if you are wondering what the hell we're talking about, Make What You Fear Challenge by the Working Hands Podcast. Go listen to their episodes and get in on it because it's fun.
Yep. All right. Well, let's call it there then.
Yep, sounds good.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
All right, see you.